Good morning. Greet you all in our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name this morning. It's a joy really to be here. As a congregation, we're going through Proverbs, and we're in Proverbs 28, verses 6 through 11. And these verses, as I consider them, and I don't claim to understand these verses completely at all. There's very deep things that are in these verses here, and I'm sure a lot of you other brothers could share a little bit better than I can. Seems like I don't have the experience that a lot of you older brothers do, and so I'm just starting to learn some of these things. Verse 6, we'll read all the verses first here. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. As we consider verse 6 here, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So we have a poor man that's walking in uprightness. Better is he than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. So we have a rich man and a poor man. The poor man is better off if he walks in uprightness than the rich man that is perverse. So perverse would be like turned aside or distorted from the right. Cross or peevish, and when we all have opportunities at times to choose the right or the wrong. I think of if we know the complete truth to something, but the other person has no way to knowing the complete truth of something. Say if you want to return something. And say it's a little damaged or whatever, but we try to sneak it in here everything's good, but they, maybe at the other end, they don't actually see the product, but you're saying it, everything's that, is that, is at a great quality. And I had to think of, as I thought about that, and I had to think of Ananias and Sapphira, we'll just read part of that there quick. Acts 5 says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it yet remain, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. We see right there for what the reward is of lying and not saying the truth in a situation like that. It's death. And so I had a couple other verses here that blessed me. When you talk about, so you have the person that's walking, that's poor and is walking uprightly, then the rich man, but he's perverse. So there's a reward there for the ones that walk uprightly. And I had, as I considered that, there's Psalm 7:10, My defense is of God, who saveth the upright in heart. And Psalm 37:7, Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Blessed, there in Matthew 5:8, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And being complete honest in things when, you know, in our dealings, you're always, complete honesty is always going against the grain. You're always working. People are like completely thrown back if you're like really saying the complete truth, and I had to think of that verse there, that we have the opportunity to shine as lights in the world in that way. Proverbs 14:2, He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. We'll go to verse 7 here. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. And, I can't really relate to being shamed by my children yet, but Lord willing, here in the near future, I can. And just think of the relationship with us and our Heavenly Father, and us and our earthly Father, and there's so much in common there. I had to think of children and if they desire to please God. And, you know, if we desire to please our parents, and then if we want to do that, the children can start with pleasing their parents, and then they'll obey their parents, and they'll please God in that way. And it's how those always go hand in hand from what I've learned, but I'd also think of riotous would be just like luxurious, wanton, festive, indulgences, reveling. So you have, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is companion of luxurious, wanton, festive, indulgences, reveling men shameth his father. Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I had to think of Proverbs 3:1-7 there. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So if we keep the law, it says, if we keep the law, we shall have long days, and peace shall be added, shall be with us. And that really was a blessing to me. It's you know, we it's easy for me sometimes to think of negative things. If we sin, you know, there shall be death there. But let us think. I always need to be reminded about the blessings there are for those that keep the commandments and follow God. That there's blessings that come with that, and it is. I'm very thankful for that blessings and grace to live above sin as we continue to commit our way to Him. Okay, verse 8 here. "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor." He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. When I consider this verse, it seemed like it's contradicting itself. It says, "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance." Okay, so he got more. He got it through usury and unjust gain. And then it says, "He shall gather it for him that will pity the poor." And why would... You're thinking, why would someone, I mean, first, he's selfish, seems like a selfish man, and why would he then be gathering for the poor? And I'm very open to any of you brothers that have anything to share in this verse. The little bit I could come up with is that someone could raise an estate in a short time or raise a lot of money in a short time, you know, by usury or fraud or taking advantage of the poor by charging them a lot of interest or so forth if he borrows to them. And I don't know, somehow it seems that as if we hoard up a lot of money for ourselves, somehow God in those situations pulls it from us and gives it to someone, a poor man, is what... And I don't know, you know, when you think about the verses there, you know, it talks about when they give out the talents and some of them didn't use them very wisely, and the one buried it, and that wasn't a good thing, and they should have taken it somewhere where they can get some interest, I guess I don't all understand all those things. I'm trying to, what is the correct way to do all these things in this day and age? And as far as hoarding a bunch of money in one one place so you can get interest on it. But then it seems like what my attitude is with it, God will bring that, will show that to me and show me where I need to have that, if things are out of, if my attitude's wrong in that. And so there's a verse, there's some verses that brought this out pretty well, I thought, in some ways. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs 22:16, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches. So he's lending to the poor, per se, and charging them lots of interest, which we know of. There's different car dealers and such that do that and charge 14% interest or something, but lend to anyone. And so they're oppressing the poor to increase their riches. And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. So are they giving it in the wrong way because they're not actually truly doing it out of the heart of love, of divine love? And Jeremiah 17:11, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. I had to think of those birds that, I forget which bird it is that goes around and chases other ones out of it, cowbirds, chases them out of their nest and takes over. And it's probably, I'm not sure if they even hatch the eggs or not. Okay, so they just want to take advantage of the nest that's already built. Okay, that's like kicking someone out of their house and say, this can be mine. I don't think the Lord would bless that. So verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I would like to read part of Isaiah 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzzah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are going away backward. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When he come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Verse 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Verse 17, Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So our verse is, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So this person is turning his ear away from hearing the law, from obeying God. And just here in this passage, it talks about all the sin and the evil that they were in, and then verse 15, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And it seems that sometimes, you know, people, I'll be careful here, but we got to be careful where, like Brother Aiden shared, we can be so spiritual, but not follow his commandments. You know, not be really concerned about his commandments, and that's an abomination to God, and we can't, if we truly are, if I'm truly wanting to please God, I need to be concerned about his commandments. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That just gave me a lot to think about, and it. You know, if I'm turned away from his commandments, but yet then I'm offering all these prayers up and all these requests, and that's even an abomination, it says. God help us to never reach that. I don't sense that here. I'm very grateful for that. It was very good for me to consider that verse. Verse 10, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. So here we have it's saying, whoso causes someone to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. And I had a couple of verses here to Romans, and I will beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Proverbs 26:7, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And it thought about that verse, and it seems like sometimes may we never forget that righteousness is righteousness and sin is sin, and to where sometimes people can try to intermingle those two and kind of blur them together, and that's for you and that's not for me. And we got to be, and we want to have grace with each other. Hear me right. It's just this, you know, that let's not confuse it. I mean, it says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You know, it and we can praise God in that, and that through the Lord Jesus, we can be righteous, and we're very grateful for that. Psalms 11:7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. And that's where, as one of those verses that brings joy to my heart too, is I mean, God loves everyone just as much as from one person to the next, but his countenance, it says, is upon the upright, you know, and he's yeah. Blessed, as Brother Aiden shared this morning, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's a very, very beautiful promise. That blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 11, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. So conceit would be just the rich man is wise in his own mind, his idea, his thought and understanding, his own way of thinking. So the rich man would think he has it all together and well-to-do. But the poor man understands that the rich man is rich in material things, but very poor spiritually. And it says, Isaiah 5:21 says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and are prudent in their own sight. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And it just, a verse talks just about a trusting in our own riches and not in God. You know, he's wise in his own resources. That's all I had to share this morning, and the Lord bless each one of you.